Hi, I'm Robert Lorzel, and this is the first podcast from my website, undergroundbee.com. These podcasts will feature my interviews with musicians, writers, and artists, including new conversations as well as some old recordings from my archives. I hope you won't mind suffering through a little background hum and extraneous noise while you listen in on these interviews. Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about how many people cried, but it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? On August 30th, 2006, I spoke by telephone with Colin Blunstone, lead singer of The Zombies. And if she should tell you, come closer. And if she tempts you with a charm, tell her no, no. I asked Blunstone why the Zombies had failed to become superstars back in the 1960s.
I think right at the very beginning, we were very young when we recorded our first records, and most of us were literally just out of school. And you know, we all remember going in England. We were signed to Decca Records, and two things happened. They did some early photo shots of us, which still follow us around now, which were really very uncommercial. You know, so and also the press office there were desperately trying to think of an angle on us, and all they could think of was we just left school and we hadn't done badly. I mean, this sounds so, I'm embarrassed to say this, but they thought we hadn't done badly in our exams. So certainly in the UK, and I think probably around the world, we were kind of pushed forward as a rather scholarly intellectual band, which is far from the truth, and many other bands have more claim to that than us. And Mick Jagger was at the London School of Economics, and Paul Jones and the Manfred was at Oxford University, just to mention a couple. So image-wise, I think we really suffered early on. We had very poor, I mean, this might sound a bit tame, but it's very important that at a time when you had, you know, bands being really wild and reckless and all that kind of thing, we had really tame image and atrocious photographs. And once they get into the filing systems of the newspapers around the world or the media, it's very hard to get that stuff out. It still happens now, as I say, when I do an interview, someone's researching or someone wants to use a photo of the original band. They often use these atrocious early photos. So that didn't help. I don't think we were, although our first manager really did help us to have our first hit single, I don't think he really saw the potential in us or the other artists that he managed. If he'd have just thought a bit differently, more long term, we could have all had different careers, and he would have certainly made a lot more money. And so I don't think we were very well advised. Another small point is that our original producer was a wonderful producer, and he produced She's Not There, but from there on in, it seemed to us that he was trying to reproduce the original, you know, the sound that we had on our first session. And we were, as I've said before, we were straight out of school. Some of our instruments were handmade. They homemade, you know, that we made them ourselves. And so obviously the band were going to grow pretty quickly. They would get more sophisticated instruments and amplification. And of course we got out on the road and we changed quite quickly. But I don't think he ever realized that. And it wasn't until we did Odyssey and Oracle where the band produced itself, although it was primarily Rod Argent and Chris White that produced the album, that we could really show people, you know, how we'd grown. So I think we were slightly held back in the studio. You know, we weren't allowed to stay for the mixing sessions or anything like that, although we asked to, but we weren't allowed to.
I found it interesting to hear Colin Blunstone's speaking voice over the phone. sounded almost exactly the way I would have expected it to sound, based on his singing style. He had a very breathy vocal style that stood out from other 1960s records. I asked him how he developed his style of singing.
I think that most of it was just natural. I did go through phases of being very influenced by people. Before the band was ever professional, I was a big fan of Ricky Nelson, a big fan of Elvis Presley, all the rock and roll greats, Chuck Berry, Little Richard. So I had listened to all their material, but by the time we were making records, I think pretty much I was just singing naturally, really. And I know it did get very breathy, and probably isn't quite as breathy now as it used to be, because I only about 4 or 5 years ago, I'd never been to a singing coach. And when you're on the road, you really have to try and make your voice strong, in the sense that you have to do it night in and night out, and you don't want to be losing your voice. And so I went to the singing coach, and, you know, I have a rehearsal practice tape that I use, and I think it has, my voice probably is a little less breathy now because it's a little bit stronger. But that breathiness in those early songs, probably noticed it as much in my first solo albums as well. It's just naturally how I used to sing.
The Zombies finally got the chance to make the sort of record they wanted to in 1967 with Odyssey and Oracle. But the Zombies broke up almost as soon as they'd finished recording Odyssey and Oracle. 2 years later, one of the album's tracks unexpectedly became a major hit, but by the time radio listeners heard Time of the Season, the Zombies were history.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time,
Bluntstone said the recent concerts he has played with Rod Argent, his old bandmate from the Zombies, have given them a chance to play some of those Odyssey and Oracle songs in concert for the first time ever.
And it is good for us to get up and play the songs, because especially the songs right at the end of our career that were on our last album, Odyssey and Oracle, we never played those songs live because the band finished when we'd finished the album, you know, within weeks. Everybody split and went off and did other things, so many of these songs we've never played live. So,
and Time of the Season became a posthumous hit, right?
That's right, it did. It was 2 years after.
Was that strange?
It was very strange. It's very strange, because, I mean, I think a big part of why we all moved on to do other projects was that we thought that, you know, we weren't getting the reaction that we hoped for on the album and the singles. And then 2 years later, for one of the singles to go to number one in the charts in America, it was a little bit strange. In some ways, it was very gratifying that people had, recognized what we were doing. But in other ways, it was a bit frustrating, really. Well, I mean, when we talk about it now, what we normally would say is that everybody felt we'd kind of come to the end of a creative cycle, that, or a creative circle. Well, cycle's better, isn't it, really? That it was time for everyone to move on. If we'd been experiencing success at the time, maybe, you know, it's possible that people might have viewed the situation differently.
After the Zombies broke up, Rod Argent went on to form the band Argent, which had a hit with the song Hold Your Head Up. Colin Blunstone had some success as a solo artist in the UK, but his records didn't sell well in the US. Blunstone went more than 2 decades without touring, until he began performing concerts again in 1997. And then came a Zombies reunion of sorts.
We'd played at a couple of charity things together. One in particular for me was the launch of the Zombies box set, which was at the Jazz Cafe in London. And I played there with my band, with Don Arian, all the guys. And the other guys in the Zombies were in the audience, and at the end of our set, they all walked on stage, and I can assure you there'd been no rehearsal and no arrangement of what was going to happen. And I found it quite almost alarming, really, to see them walk on stage, and I thought, well, what's going to happen here? And we just played a couple of tunes, and I must admit, it surprised me, because there had been no rehearsals, and the last time we played together was 1967. And this was about 97, somewhere around there, a little bit later, maybe 98, 99, something like that. And it sounded really good, and Rod and I did play at a couple of other charity things, and then I got about six dates coming up, and I phoned Rod and said, well, look, would you fancy doing these six dates? And it was pretty much understood in the first place that it would just be the six dates with, I think we completely rehashed the band at that point. But then after, just during that first concert that we gave, I think we both felt as if we'd played our last concert together about the week before. It just felt very, very natural. And very quickly we thought, well, this would be a good idea. But there'd been no thought of the Zombies being reformed, and Chris White hadn't been involved in any of this either, or Hugh Grundy, our drummer. And so we started playing regularly as Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent.
The first time Blunstone and Argent played a concert in Chicago a few years ago, it was simply billed as Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent of the Zombies. But recent gigs by the duo and their backup band have been billed as the Zombies. So why the change?
We realized that as we started to play more and to record, we were going through many of the same processes that we did with the Zombies, with mostly Rod writing, being the predominant writer, and writing songs for my voice. We have Jim Rodford involved in the band, who was actually the first guy who was asked to be bass player in the original Zombies. Many of the harmonies have resonances of how we would record harmonies. There were all sorts of nuances and little shapes that were emerging in how we were recording and how the band was developing that just reminded us of the original band. So that was one thought process that was going on in our minds. But for me, the second thing is that it got to a point where most places that we played, however much we explained to them how we wanted to be billed, especially in North America, we were billed as the Zombies anyway. We didn't really have much choice, because that's how we were billed. But what we ask for is that people will bill us as Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent of the Zombies.
Yes.
But it usually gets cut short. So it is quite precise in all contracts that we sign that it should be Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent of the Zombies.
For more details about Colin Blunstone, check out his website, Colin Blunstone, it's blunstone.co.uk. And for information on Rod Argent, visit rodargent.com. This has been podcast number one from undergroundbee.com.
Let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to